It's sort of neat when you hear my message and you hear what Mike said, how all this stuff dovetails, and none of us talked before this morning at all. So God just put it all together, orchestrated this service. This service is for you. If you came this morning, I am convinced God had something for you. I am amazed to hear so many times people look at us and say, or look at pastors and say, that sermon was for me. Well, that sermon was maybe for you, but it was also for a lot of other people that are here. I'm convinced God has a message for you. I hope you will listen so you hear it. Your message, not your husband's or your wife's or your children's. If you will, turn with me. Today, I'm going to be preaching deliverance from the darkness, and I think it has an impact on how you deal with darkness or dark moments in your life. Everyone goes through a dark moment in your life. It's a time of great struggle, stress, and even fear or pain. For some it's guilt, others it's just a moment when you don't know how you're going to make it through this moment. And this is what I want to share with you, getting deliverance from the darkness. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9 in your Bibles, if you would. And even though it's up here, take your Bibles out. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation, increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoiced at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. Now, I want to share with you, first of all, a little bit about Naphtali and Zebulun.
Then behind that was $1 Juba. Right, Chuck? Okay. Now, the reason behind that is I want to explain something to you. The children of Israel were given these lands. And they were given these lands to possess and also to cultivate and to take care of. Some were lands that were more populated and were safer. The Sea of Galilee is over. Sea of Galilee is up here. The Mediterranean Sea is down here. And over here is the desert region where the Assyrians were. Now I want you to understand, between the Mediterranean Sea and where the Assyrians came from, there was a road that went through there. And the Assyrians constantly were going through Naphtali and Zebulun. Because they were going to the Sea of Galilee, and they were going to get their water before they went on the rest of their journey. Naphtali and Zebulun were constantly under the threat of the Assyrians coming in, and other marauders and other thieves, and it was a tough place to live. But because they lived in a tough place, they also began to become politically correct so that they would fit in. I mean, you don't want the marauders coming in and taking you out. Why don't you just become one of them? And so many of them turned from their teachings and their faith to be able to put up with all the stuff going on. Now, this was a place not only of the marauders coming through, but it was also a place where Isaiah talks about in a previous chapter in 7 and 8, talks about how God would put his curse on them because they had turned from their faith. And it had become dark in that land. Now, what does dark mean? Does anybody know what dark is? The absence of light. Thank you. We got both of those are right. The absence. You see, if you've got darkness in your house, you know it's dark because you don't have light. So darkness is the absence of light. What is light according to the Bible? What is the symbolism of light there? The Word of God, the testimony of God, the presence of God. So Naphtali and Zebulun became dark peoples. What does that mean? Does it mean they were just evil, wicked people? No. It doesn't mean that. It basically meant they compromised to fit in, to survive. And slowly but surely their children compromised. And their children compromised. And you, after a few generations, this place became dark. Have you ever been somewhere, and when you were there, you were going, this is, I want to get out of here. This is dark. This is just not a place I want to be. Let me tell you something. I drive Uber. And when I drive Uber, I do not do dark, okay? But I have to sort of do dark, because at 5:30 it's dark. If you don't do some dark when it's 5:30 dark, then you're not going to work at all. So I have had to do, but I go to some places when it's dark, and it's darker there than any place I've ever been, because you have a feeling of darkness there. You feel danger there. You feel like, if I could get out of here, I'll just, thank you, Lord, just get me out of here. And then I go to pick up some people who live in those neighborhoods, and I pull in, and I'm going, Lord, help only the person that's supposed to get in my car come to my car right now, Lord, please, because it's so scary in that place. Naphtali was like that. Zebulun was like that. It was a place where nobody wanted to go. It was a place where people went around that were Jewish people. They didn't really want to go through there. And
yet Isaiah says this.
Isaiah, in the scripture we just read, says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." And then he's talking about Naphtali and Zebulun, the area where darkness is. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. This is the fulfillment of that prophecy by Isaiah. Matthew chapter 4, verse 12 through 17. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Now, where is Galilee? Hey, we got to get back down here.
He left the Jerusalem area, Benjamin tribe, and he went up here. He withdrew, to Naphtali, the Galilee area. The Galilee area was the area around the Sea of Galilee.
Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. "Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, the light has dawned." From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come." Where did Jesus go to call his disciples? To the darkest place in the area. Who did Jesus call out of the darkness? His disciples.
Isn't it amazing that God can go into the darkest place and bring light? And isn't it amazing that most of Jesus' miracles took place in the darkest place on the face of
Isn't it amazing that Jesus not only called his disciples, he taught them along the Sea of Galilee, the dark, dark Sea of Galilee? Isn't it amazing that Jesus went up on the mount there and he preached the Sermon on the Mount over the Sea of Galilee, and all the world now reads that sermon and goes, "Wow, what an amazing sermon." And who were the first to hear it? The people in darkness. You know, we as Christians would love to go visit or see people who are good Christian people, or good people in good places, in safe places. But God does his work many times in the darkest of places, with the people of the darkest families, with the darkest background. Jesus said, "Repent and be baptized." I want you to know that Jesus went into the Sea of Galilee and he told them in the Sea of Galilee how to fish. He said, "Cast your net on the other side." Now, these were rough people. The fishermen, have you seen some of the fishing on television? Some of those fishermen up in the Bering Straits? There's some rough guys there. I want you to know something. These were rough guys.
when we talk about Peter, James, and John, when we talk about those Jesus called to be disciples, we are not talking about holy men. We're talking about rough rednecks. Why did God call them? And then he went up on the mountainside and delivered a sermon, and then they were all hungry. Thousands of them, 5,000, had come to hear him preach. In the place of darkness. I was thinking about, you know, Billy Graham, when he would go and preach, he would go into some of the darkest countries in the entire world. He went to Moscow, and thousands came to hear him preach. He went to Africa. Hundreds of thousands came to hear him preach. And I am convinced that those that are in darkness have the greatest longing for light. They don't even know what they long for, but they long for light. Those whose lives are so messed up is who God comes to many times to do his greatest work. Here, he cast out demons. He healed the dreaded sicknesses of leprosy. This area became the area where thousands came to see him, and thousands were healed, and literally hundreds were delivered. The Gadarene demoniac was on the other side of the Galilee, but he made everything that seemed impossible possible. How did this light become light to the people? Because it drew them out of the darkness. Now, I am here to tell you we're entering the period when we're going to be in the month of December talking about the birth of Jesus, Emmanuel. And I want you to look with me in the scriptures what it says in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. It's later explained in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 through 23. Quoting from Isaiah again, Matthew says, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. God goes into the darkness, becomes the light, and light spread. How? Through his people. The light of this community is this church. You are the light. But there are times in every one of our lives when darkness tries to rule. Struggle to get a breath, it's just weighing you down. You can
by that.
For you see, with God, everything is possible. For He is the perfect peace that man is looking for. He can deliver you. He can take you out. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you're walking in darkness. You're just in darkness. You don't even know you're in darkness. I've had people that have come to church and walked through the door, and we had a young man, I don't know if you remember Russell, he was from China. And he came in because he wanted to take pictures of a church in America. He came in and was taking pictures. And then I looked at him and I said, "Have you ever been in a Sunday school?" He said, "No." So we took him back to the Sunday school. And he sat through that Sunday school. Then, who was it that gave him a Bible? Was that you, Russell? Do what? Yeah, classed it. Gave him a Bible. He treasured that Bible. He walked out. I'm going to tell you something. There was something drawing him into this place. There was something that gave him excitement when we gave him the Bible. He couldn't tell you what it was, but it's in him to desire. And it's that the light dispels darkness. I have a lot of Chinese students who were at Crescent while I was there. And I taught Bible, and so I would talk to them, and I could tell the Chinese are taught to respect their teacher. Absolutely, you do not. If the teacher says something, it's the truth. You better believe it, you better remember it. So I was there telling them things that they had never heard, and they would look at me. I had one Chinese student come to me and look at me, and he said, "How do you pray?" And I said, "Do you have a father, an earthly father?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Do you ever talk with him?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "How do you talk to him?" "In Chinese?" I said, "Yeah." Then he said, I said, "And what do you talk about?" He said, "I tell him what's going on in my life. And then he gives me counsel." I said, "That's God. And that's how you pray. You just talk to him about what's going on in your life and he gives you counsel. That's prayer." And he was like, wow. His eyes lit up and he said, "I can do that." The darkness, the world of darkness, and by the way, in China it's grave darkness today. But the darkest lands in the world, God is bringing them here to our community to reach for Christ Jesus, to take the light back to China or whatever country. And that's our job, is to give the light to those who are lived in darkness and don't even know there's a light. We are not responsible for the whole world, but we are responsible for this community. And if they come from the world to this community, we are responsible for every last one of them. I will be held accountable in heaven for everyone that got through here and I didn't preach to. I will be held accountable for everyone that I saw at this store over here, or the grocery store, that I didn't use the opportunity to reach them with the light. I don't care how dark they look. In 1 John 5:1-7, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I want you to understand something this morning. Hear me. Christians do not share the light. In a recent survey, do not share the light, do not share Christ with other people because of guilt more than any other reason. Who am I to share with other people? I'm a sinner. Who am I to do anything? I don't know anything. They've neglected the word of God. Now God is asking me to share. No, I'm no good. Who am I to share? And the guilt of not being up on the word of God, the guilt of not sharing, just masses itself into the point that we become overwhelmed with our sin. But it says here, Christ Jesus cleanses us from all sin. My friends, come to Jesus, let him wash you clean, and the light of Christ will begin to shine once again. You don't have to live with that. You don't have to live with that sin. You don't have to live with that neglect of Christ that you've had in your life. You don't have to live with that self-centeredness any longer. You can have the light of Christ, and he delivers you from that. Psalm 5:11, but let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. God wants us to rejoice. God wants us to walk in joy. He doesn't want us to walk in depression. He doesn't want us to walk in sadness. And I know there are some of you saying, but you don't know what I've been through. I can guarantee you, I know people who've been through what you've been through, and I have been through some grave things, and I want you to know something. You can still walk in joy. The light of God is the joy of our salvation. Second Corinthians 1, 9 and 10. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. You see, the Christian walk is, I think there's some Christians who think, well, when you come to Christ, you step out of darkness into light, and you just live in light all the time. That's his long walk. And those people who believe that, it's a fairy tale world. You're to seek that with all your heart. You're to repent and turn to him. But I've got news for you. We're emotional beings, and the stuff gets us down. This past week, I was going through a lot of stuff. And I didn't really know how much it was affecting me, except in one time, I'm going to tell you a little secret. Sometimes it does the soul good, okay? Whenever I go through a lot of stress, my scalp breaks out. I get these little hooks all the time, and it itches like crazy. The doctor has prescribed some, but I know it comes every time I get stressed out. And I struggle to turn it over to God. I struggle to give it to him. I struggle to say, all right, God, I just trust you. I struggle with that. This is my grandbaby. This is my grandchild. This is my daughter who's going to have a C-section, and the miracle has to come because doctors say it won't happen unless it's a miracle. Do you know how much we struggle with that? What the doctors say? The doctor says this. What does God say? And I want you to know, you're going to go through times where you trust more in the doctor, you trust more in yourself, you trust more in what you're thinking, you trust more in what you're seeing, you trust more in what you're hearing, you trust more in what the person that's coming against you, you trust more in the things that are said about you, you trust more in that than you trust in God. And when you do, you step back into darkness, and you need to be delivered so that you walk in the joy of the Lord. Christians walk in darkness, yes they do, because we don't trust God. But God is a delivering God who loves to take people that are living in darkness and take them out of darkness. That's where he goes. He goes to dark people. I want to tell you about two people. One's Lee, and the other is Beverly. Lee was a young man whose life had fallen apart. He was married, and then his wife left him. He was a nightclub singer. He was good. He played the piano and sang in nightclubs. He went for an extended stint in Charleston, South Carolina, and was in a bar just off of the docks in Charleston. And there were a lot of struggles. He had people that broke out in fights around him. He was an alcoholic. He struggled, and he would get off early in the morning, 4 or 5 in the morning, and would take walks. Still in his tuxedo, which he wore while he played the piano and sang. And he woke up one day, he got up and walked as he normally did at 5 in the morning for 2 hours. And just said, there is no point in this life. There's no point in my life. Lord, take me on home if there is one. And he said, for the first time really spoke to a God. If there is a God, take me on. And then Lee heard some music. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. It was loud. It was singing. It was choruses that he had never heard before. And he walked down the street, and it was on Rivers Avenue in Charleston. And there's a church, First Baptist Church, North Charleston. And as he walked by, he heard the music. Now, he's a musician, so he was wondering, what's this like? So he went in the back door and sat down in the back pew. And Lee, so full of darkness, so full of sin, so full of self-consumption, heard the message of Jesus Christ, the deliverance of Christ, and light came into his life. He walked down the aisle with his tuxedo, with beer on his tuxedo, and knelt down and gave his life to Jesus that Sunday morning at an early worship in Charleston, South Carolina. Lee Rock was transformed. He got back with his wife. They moved to Texas. They moved to Fort Worth, and he went to seminary. Lee Rock, I think he's retired now, but was a minister for like 30 years. I want to tell you about one more. Beverly is her name. Beverly was a former Miss Texas. She was a beautiful lady, and she went to the Miss America contest, and I think she came in first runner-up. Beautiful lady. But she, because of her beauty, there were a lot of people that came after her. And her lifestyle was less than pure. She also met a lot of different types of people. And she met a guy she really liked who had a lot of money. Well, he had a lot of money because he was a gang member. He was a part of La Casa Nostra. And there in Texas, she said he would go off for weekends. And she said, I didn't know where he was going, but I knew he came back with money. That's all I cared about. She said, I got on drugs. And finally got on heroin, and I mainlined heroin. You don't get off of that. And she said, one night, my husband was going to, somewhere in Texas, and he didn't come home the next morning. She waited up for him. She tried to call him. She couldn't get him. And finally, she heard the news. There was a gangland slaying in that town. And she said, he's in a gang. I know he's in a gang. He's never talked about it, but he's in a gang. And she found out he was killed that night. She was so distraught, she didn't know what to do. Again, she got in a car and started driving around. And she came to a church, and she said it was as if light was coming out of the church, her words. She stopped. And by the way, I heard her testimony about 30 years ago. in a church in South Carolina. She stopped and came into the service. And she said she accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. She never even knew she was missing anything. She thought she had everything. She had drugs. She had a husband with plenty of money. She had been a beauty queen. What else do you need? Fame and fortune. But she found out there was something else. And she realized in the service that her heart was dark and her life was dark. And she gave her life to Christ Jesus, her Lord. Beverly met the young minister that preached, who was a single young man. And the two of those hit it off. Beverly went home that night and set her alarm clock for her hit. She had to have it every few hours. Mainlining heroin. She said her alarm clock went off and she shut it off. She didn't wake up. She walked around for 6 months with heroin in her pocketbook because she knew that eventually she would crash. She never crashed. She never needed the drugs again. God delivered her completely out of darkness and physical healing. Beverly Massagee married this young man, and they went on, and you can go today. I went last night just to check. Charles Massagee is his name, and his wife is Beverly, and they've been on the doing revivals and camps for Christian camps for many, many years. She's a ventriloquist. You may have seen her before. But I want you to know something. God is in the business of piercing the darkness with light. That's what we're called to do. Now, we can't pierce the darkness if there's darkness in us. And some of us here this morning have darkness in us. And I'm not saying you're evil or wicked. I'm not saying that. Just where there's a lack of light, there's going to be darkness. That's all it is. Have you been in the Word of God? Is the light of God penetrating your whole being? Is God the source of your strength? Is your life full of light? Have you given your heart and life to Jesus? If you have, do you walk with Him more every day? You see, Christianity is a daily process. And if you've gone backwards, you're in darkness. You don't go backwards in a walk with Christ. You go forwards. Where's the light in your life? If you have darkness, would you come and receive Christ's light? Would you allow Christ to penetrate your heart once again, to purify it? And the scripture here we just read says that indeed we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from a deadly peril, and He will deliver us again. On Him we have set our hope that He will continue to deliver us and continue to deliver us and continue to deliver us. How many of you know the hymn, "Great is Thy Faithfulness"? The words are, "Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Great is Thy faithfulness." We cannot turn God's faithfulness off by our sin or the darkness in our heart. God is faithful. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. What is a mercy? To receive something you don't deserve. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, O Lord.